without further ado, let me introduce our speaker. This is Jamie Shipman, a colleague, a friend, a wonderful lady with, I'm sure, some great information for you. And she's also a licensed professional counselor who loves being a career counselor in the UT Dallas Career Center. Her educational background includes a bachelor's degree in English and a master's degree in counseling with a concentration in career development. After many changes in her own career path and several different occupations, Janie considers herself to be a walking, talking commercial for the value of career counseling. And she is excited to be able to use that experience to motivate students. Now she is an experienced career counselor with a passion for empowering students to build and manage their own careers. Janie especially enjoys the aha moments that come as she assists students and alumni with understanding their career assessments. Her areas of specialty include one-on-one career counseling, resume writing, job search strategies and coaching, creating and presenting career-related seminars, conducting mock interviews, and working with student groups to encourage career exploration. So once again, without further ado, please join me in welcoming Mrs. Janie Shipman.
Thank you, Sherry. I was really excited when Sherry asked me to come and talk with you all about job searching and challenging economic times. She and I know each other from an organization called MAC3, which is the Metroplex Area Consortium of Career Centers, so that's the three C's. And we have connected through networking, which I am going to talk with you about extensively today. My biography sounded so good, I'd like to give myself some applause and sit down. I am a walking, talking example of the benefit of career counseling. So I started out, like many students do, focused on one particular degree plan, but all the way through my bachelor's degree, I was going to be the world's most wonderful high school English teacher. And I got all the way through my degree, I did my student teaching, and that was the last time I was in a public school classroom. It was not the fit for me. So I kind of bounced around doing a lot of different things until I was older and probably than the oldest person in this room before I went back to school for my master's degree. I always laugh when I check in here at the visitor center because the lady at the visitor center, when I get my parking pass, will say, "You're not a student, are you?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And she says, "No, I didn't think so." I was like, "I was a student when I was older than you are, so don't ever think that you can stop learning or that you can't go back to school." And I see some gentlemen in the audience here, and I want to say I'm glad you're here. I was the Cub Scout and Boy Scout troop leader for a young man a long time ago who did not know what he wanted to do with his life, but the first year that TWU opened registration for male students, he was in that first class. And he found his niche here in the drama and theater department, bachelor's degree from here, went to Tulane, got his master's degree in theater, then he went to the Midwest somewhere, got his doctorate in theater, and he is now a full-fledged professor, I think, at Purdue University. And he started here at TWU, so I'm glad you guys are here as well as all you ladies. I have a tendency to walk around while I'm doing presentations, so I may go all the way to the back of the room and may come all the way back here. This is a small enough group, I think, rather than starting with my marvelous PowerPoint, I might start by asking you guys some questions. What brings you here to this seminar? What are you hoping to learn? What is it that you need to know? Because if I know specifically what you need from this, then I'll be sure that we address that. So do you have any questions starting out that we could make sure that we cover as we go through this? Okay.
When you are starting to look for a job, say like after graduation, is it wise to invest in like a headhunter type service in the found economy?
We're going to cover that. The question was about when you're starting out with your job service, should you invest in a headhunter or recruiter? And we'll touch on that at some point later. So we'll get to that question. How about anybody else? Specific questions or things that you're worried about? Okay, then we will go through what has been optimistically termed a wonderful presentation. This is Job Searching in Challenging Economic Times, and I would tell you, actually, the material that I'm going to share with you and the tips and the strategies and information is information that you can use at any point, whether it's challenging economically out there or if things are going really well. This is material that you need to use in job searching at any point. So, I'll pick the first one. Okay, I did some research this last week, and actually today, the statistics were updated by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This little map shows you actually the Dallas Metroplex area, which is right in here. The national unemployment rate today was 9.8%. And when I did the slide last week, it was 9.6 based on August figures, and this is based on September figures, 9.8%. It was 8.3 in the Dallas Metroplex area for August, and today it was 8.2% based on September figures. And then Denton County, and they have not updated the regional figures, you can see from the colors here that the unemployment rate is 10% or higher in these areas that are dark green, with that all the way out there on the west coast. The ones for our area tend to be in this purple range, and that would put Denton County, Dallas, and Collin County and all those counties right in there, purple and orange. 7.0 to 9.9%. However, Denton's figures, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics for August, were actually 7.6%, and I think, and that's right there on that slide. So nationally, the unemployment rate is 9.8. The Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area is 8.2 today, and Denton County is running around 7.6%. So you can see from this chart how trends have been running in the unemployment rate over the last several decades. And if you look at 2007, and the green line here is young people and the hiring rates. The red line is the overall rate of hiring, and then the yellow line is the overall rate for hiring new college graduates. And you can see that this runs lower than the overall hiring rate, but it has peaks and valleys, and actually in 2007, that hiring rate was going up. In 2008, kind of leveled off. 2009, it has dropped a little bit. And here are employer hiring plans. This slide actually addresses employers that recruit UT Dallas. We did a survey of them last year, and the same statistics seem to be holding true. 46% of our employers are going to be hiring at pretty much a similar rate that they did last year and the year before. 38% are increasing their hiring, and that's because they've restructured, they're downsizing, they're rebuilding, they're going in different directions. 16% are decreasing their hiring. So it's kind of a washout out there. Some employers are hiring more, some are hiring less, and some are holding even. But what that means is that as college graduates or college students, it's going to be a challenge for you to make connections with those employers. And here are some industries that are continuing to hire, even though the whole economic picture is a little bit depressed. Telecommunications, financial services, education, healthcare, federal government, discount retailers, banks, and mortgage lending companies. And you think, well, wait a minute, why are they hiring? Because they're the ones that got us into this difficulty in the first place. But they still have to manage money, and they're still supposed to be lending money. They just have to do it differently than they were doing it before. And those companies, banks, mortgage lending companies, they're hiring people to do different kinds of things from a different perspective than they used to. So it's important to keep that in mind. The stimulus package for 2009 is going to create jobs in alternative energy, construction and infrastructure, education, healthcare, retail, transportation, professional and business services, mining and utilities, especially the gas and oil industry, government, financial, leisure, and hospitality. And that kind of sets people back. They're thinking everything's depressed. Why are leisure and hospitality industries going to grow? Well, they're going to grow because pretty soon we're going to come out of this and people are going to want some fun things to do and some nice places to go. So those industries may be slow starting up, but they're going to make it. And then wholesale trade, of course, is going to still be a viable industry. So in terms of what employers are looking for, there's 10 things that students need to possess in terms of their skills. And these are what our employers said, and I would imagine they hold true for many employers out there. They're looking for students who have strong communication skills, the ability to write, the ability to make presentations, to talk to people, to communicate on teams. They're looking for a strong work ethic. They want people that are going to come to work and work hard while they're at work and do their jobs. They're looking for interpersonal skills, how you relate to others, how you interact with others. That's especially important in a team environment, and most employers are employing some kind of team approach to the work that they want done. Teamwork skills are important. Flexibility and adaptability. They want people that are able to see where there's a problem and change what they're doing to make things better. They're looking for analytical skills, problem-solving skills, technical, and computer skills. So all those things are important for you to have in your little arsenal when you get ready for your job search. Okay, keys to success. This is where Sherry might need to do some key punching. Preparation is your first thing. You need to prepare for your job search, and there's some things to do to prepare for your job search. I'm just going to pop a little slide up here. Okay, these are all P's. Did you notice that? Preparation, planning, personal investment. That means personally investing your time and your energy in your job search. It doesn't mean investing money specifically. It means investing yourself. A positive attitude is going to take you a long, long way. Professional presentation of both your materials and your personal self when you go for interviews. Proactive use of resources. That means getting out there and researching and finding resources to use. And perseverance. You can't give up on your job search. It's a temptation when you think you've done everything you can do to say, well, I've tried everything, I can't make it work, and just quit. You can't do that. There are jobs out there. There are people that are hiring. All of you, when you graduate from TWU, you are going to have an excellent academic education. You're going to have great academic preparation for the field that you're entering. You can't give up on that job search. How many of you are in or considering internships? Excellent. Employers are looking at internships as almost vital to your success when you start to work for them. It gives you work experience. You can try out a variety of things, get your feet wet, trying one thing, decide whether it works for you or doesn't work for you. But when you have that internship experience on your resume, an employer is going to look at that very favorably. Employers often, especially in technical computer and technical kinds of environments, will ask for a 4.0 average. They're looking for that top academic average. However, what employers find a lot of times with a 4.0 average and a person without work experience is that the person with the lower average and the work experience is just as strong and possibly a stronger worker than the one who didn't have any internship or work experience. So definitely consider that. Okay, tips for a successful job search. The things that are important for you to do to begin to prepare are to do your homework. It takes time, it takes planning, it takes preparation. And some of the slides that I'm presenting today seem to have duplicate or redundant information on them, and that could be that it's necessary to say it over and over and over again. You have to prepare, you have to research, you have to search. You have to be active. You can't just get behind a computer and apply for jobs that are out there and then wait for somebody to call you. You need to be proactive. Be flexible. Cast your net as broadly as you can, and that means have several options in mind. Don't limit yourself to only one type of job or one type of industry. What are some majors that are represented here? What is your major? Criminal justice and sociology. And what are you thinking in terms of what you might want to do with that when you graduate?
I did a government internship for a year with Social Security Administration. I didn't really care for the job or the agency, but I am looking to go back to the government since I did that.
Okay, so your internship actually, even though you didn't love what you were doing, that's still a viable option for when you graduate. With a criminology and sociology major, some people tend to think that they're going to focus on a law enforcement kind of environment, and that's the only place they'll look. If you're wide open to possibilities, you're going to be looking at government with that combination. You'll be looking at government, you'll be looking at law enforcement, you could be looking at nonprofits. There's lots of different options out there, and that's the whole key, is to keep some of your options open. Don't limit yourself. Use multiple job sources. When employers post jobs, they post to several different sources, and you need to look at several different sources to find where those postings are. Allow plenty of time. A successful job search can take 4 to 6 months and maybe even longer. So start early. Keep records and follow up. You need a good tracking system that will help you keep track of what you've been doing. Some students create an Excel spreadsheet and put tabs at the bottom. Prospective employers, employers I've contacted, jobs that I've applied for, informational interviews that I've conducted, networking events I've gone to, career expos I've gone to. So you have an unlimited almost number of tabs at the bottom, and you can keep track of all the things that you've been doing. Keep your contact information in there, make notes about what you learned wherever you were and whoever you were talking with, and follow up on those contacts. Take care of yourself. This is something that people tend to forget. We get close to graduation, we get kind of antsy about finding a job, we get edgy, and we put all our focus into a mad dash job search, and we forget to take care of ourselves. And you can't do a successful job search, you can't start work as a good, strong employee if you haven't taken care of yourself. So you not only need to take care of your job search, you need to rest, you need to eat right. Do I sound like a parent? You need to rest, you need to eat right, you need to have some fun. You can have fun without spending lots and lots of money. Keep your contacts with your friends. Make sure that you're doing something that is nice for you. Okay. Let's see. Okay. For your job search itself, know specifically what you want and set goals. Now, I know we talked a few minutes ago about not limiting yourself, but at the same time, you need to have a focus for your job search. We tend to, when we get close to graduation or the week after graduation, I see a lot of students in my office who say, okay, I graduated, now what do I do? I'll take anything. And you really don't want to take anything unless your back is really to the wall. You want to be focused. You want to know what 3 or 4 or maybe even 5 particular jobs might be a good fit for you within your field. If you are a communications major, for instance, you maybe could pursue a job in journalism as a copywriter or an editor assistant, for instance. But you also could look at broadcast media. You could look in a lawyer's office or a legal firm and apply as a file room clerk or administrator, or even someone working with documents. The more you explore about your field, the better idea you have what jobs are out there and what you can do with that major. There's lots of websites out there. What can I do with my major in? And you'll Google that and you'll come up with all kinds of things that will give you an idea what you can do with your major. So even though you need to be focused, you need to also have 4 or 5 choices so that if one doesn't work, there's some others that you'd be interested in. Be sure your resume is focused and reflects your current objective. You don't want to necessarily have one resume that you send to all employers. If you're interested in one particular type of job, then you'll want your resume focused on what that employer is looking for. And you simply read job descriptions for the same job title, write down the things all those employers are looking for, and you'll know that those are things that you need to have on your resume. So focus your resume, target it toward each specific position. If you're a business major and you're considering, for instance, accounting jobs, or financial analyst, or business analyst, then you might actually have 3 separate resumes because you'll want to target what employers are looking for each one of those specific positions. approach prospective employers in a professional but personable way. Be friendly. You can be assertive, but you don't want to be aggressive. You want to be professional in all your contacts with employers. Even with expos and career events that are put on by your career center here at the university, if you can dress professionally, you will stand out as and present a sharper image than students who don't dress professionally, and it makes a big difference as far as how employers perceive you. Approach as many prospective employers as you can. Expos are an excellent way of having some exposure to a number of employers, but also get out of your comfort zone and go out into the community and talk to employers that do things or have businesses that or environments that you are interested in. And we're going to talk about some techniques for doing that in a few minutes. So, but you want to approach and talk to as many employers, prospective ones, as you can. So, how are we doing? Okay, how to research employers. Before we talk about researching employers, what are some of your questions so far about what we've covered? Did I mention anything that raised a question for any of you? Okay, well, we will talk about how to research employers. Of course, your TWU Career Center is your first source for finding out what employers are out there, which ones recruit here at TWU, which ones are the outstanding employers in the Denton County area, if you're wanting to stay in this area. There are online resources such as Vault and Hoover's, LinkedIn, Glassdoor, and I have a resources list that I provided for you, and I'll talk about some of those resources in a couple of minutes. Newspapers, especially the business section of your local newspapers. I would think that the local paper has stands around campus where students can pick up copies of the paper. And actually, if we're talking about publications, if you are interested in, how many of you are in nursing school here for social work? Okay. If you go to a medical office and you're waiting in your own doctor's office, what publications does he have or she have on her tables in the waiting room? Look through those professional publications. See who it is that advertises there. You may not, if you're a science major, you may not want to go into nursing or medicine in the patient care aspect of it. But maybe you'll want to work for a company that provides services for physicians' offices or provides products or engineering or lab testing or any of the number of things that would go along with the medical profession. So look and see who's listed as an advertiser in professional publications. If you're interested, for instance, in education, but you don't want to be in the classroom, maybe you want to take that communications major or your math major and apply it to statistics. So if you're talking with a person who's a teacher and they have a professional publication, who advertises in there? Who provides the statistics? Who provides the tests? Who provides the classroom materials? All of those are options for you in terms of where you might look to make employer contacts. Okay, networking is a huge part of a successful job search, and there's lots of different strategies for networking. Networking brings certain things to mind for people, so I would ask you guys, what do you think networking is? If someone says, you need to be networking, what do you think you need to be doing?
Meeting people,
right. What else do you do with networking? Yes? Exactly. It's meeting people and talking with them to see who it is that they know that you can connect with. And that's the basis of networking. A lot of times people think, oh, well, networking, I can't do that. I can't ask my friends and my family for a job. And that's not what networking is. It's getting out there and meeting people, talking to people, seeing who they know that you can connect with, and using that network to expand your outreach. So networking is really a tremendous key. And the thing that makes networking so important is that if you're doing that, making those personal contacts, talking to employers in person, you're making an impression on them that a lot of your other student friends are not making. Networking, informational interviewing, when you go talk to someone to learn about their business or learn about the industry, that's a very strong strategy for building your network and tapping into things that are out there. There's such a thing as a hidden job market, and that is the job market of opportunities that are coming open or maybe already open that nobody has posted anywhere yet. People know about them, but you don't know about them because you're not out there talking to people yet. So that's part of what informational interviewing and networking can do for you. When you're talking with someone who owns a business, for instance, that you're interested in maybe working for them or maybe working in that industry, that person knows other people. They may know they're going to hire somebody for a new position next fall, but until you come in and talk with them and ask them questions, they don't know that you might be a good fit for that position. So you can use that networking opportunity to find things that are coming open. People will remember they talked with you. They will remember that when they talk with someone else who has a position coming open. And they may say 3 or 4 months later, I remember talking to a student from TWU. You need to get in touch with her. Here's her contact information. And they'll put the two of you together. So it's the networking is a huge strategy for tapping into some opportunities that are out there that are not posted anyplace. Work, gather information. Let's get back down there. Whoops, I can't do this backwards. Okay. I may have gone too far, Sherry. There we go. More job search strategies. Work at gathering information rather than directly asking for a job. The more information you gather, the more people you talk to, the better this gets. Keep it real rather than virtual, and that just means you really do need to take your personal self out from behind the computer and go out to the community and talk to people. The virtual job search using all the job boards is necessary. Using employers' websites for applying for jobs is necessary. But the thing that's going to make the biggest difference for you is networking and talking with people. The latest statistics show that possibly as few as 10% of the job offers come as a result of simply applying for jobs online. 15% come as a result of applying to jobs on company websites. 75% of job offers received in the last couple of years have come as a result of somebody networking with other people and making that personal contact. So that's really important. And I would say if there's anything that's more important than anything else in a challenging economic time, the thing that makes the biggest difference is the networking and talking to people. Okay. Be proactive and take initiative. Don't be passive. That simply means don't wait for the jobs to come to you. When you apply for a job online, whether you use an employer's website or a job board, if you know who the employer is, find a way to follow up to make sure that your application was received if you don't get one of those bounce back emails. Also find a way to talk with someone in that company so you can start making some connections. And I'm going to point you out a couple of job boards on the list that I gave you where when you do a job search, you don't get a lot of anonymous job postings. You get postings that are posted by actual real companies and you can tell what company it is. Be focused on the employer's needs and the employer's perspectives and avoid overlooking your own selling points. I was reading something just this morning about resume writing, and the question was, should I use an objective? And what should I say in an objective? And really, the focus for resumes at this point is less on an objective and more on something like a summary or a personal branding statement, something that says to the employer what you bring to the situation. An objective is me-centered. It's what I want. So if I put an objective to obtain a position of at XYZ company, that's what I want. But that doesn't say anything about what I bring for the employer. But if I were to use a summary that said recent graduate with internship experience and 2 years as an accounting assistant with a Fortune 500 company. That tells an employer a little bit about you. You've got some experience, you know something about the field, and you worked for a Fortune 500 company. That is something that an employer might like to know. So use a summary or a personal branding statement as opposed to an objective. And that will give, that's more about what the employer wants than about what you want. And the same thing when you get to interview stage, when you're talking with employers, you need to be matching yourself, selling the strong points that you have, because you know what the employer needs, and so you can match yourself to what they need. And all of that comes as a result of research that you've done on the employers, on the field, on salaries. There's all kinds of information you need to gather before you ever get started. Okay. What's next? Pre-application strategies. Use every encounter that you make as a networking opportunity. And I would say everybody that you meet anywhere is a networking contact. And you're thinking, well, that's a lot of people. It is a lot of people. You have families, you have friends, you have classmates, you have professors. Who do the professors know out in the community? Who are your classmates working for, and who do they know if they're in a company that you're interested in? Who do they know? I would tell you a personal story about a friend of mine who was a computer science major. He was a programmer, and he was out late in the evening after class one night at the grocery store, and he was checking out. He and the cashier are about the only people in the front of the store, and the cashier says, "What are you doing out so late?" And he says, "I just finished my last class for today. I'm on my way home, but I needed these things." And she says, "Well, what classes are you taking?" He says, "Well, I'm over at UTD. I'm taking computer science, finishing my bachelor's degree in programming." And she says, "Oh, what are you going to do after you graduate?" And he says, "Well, I would love to work for Nortel, but yeah, it's such a big company, and they're so high up. I'll probably end up doing programming for a smaller company somewhere." And she says, "My husband works at Nortel." And she said, "Let me give you his name and his email address, and you can write to him." So he sent an email to this woman's husband, said, "I'd love to work for Nortel. Who do I need to talk to?" Long story short, 3 months later, he had a job at Nortel. Yay. And he's not there now, but boy, it was a big stepping stone for him, and it was huge, because he talked to the cashier in the grocery store. So you never know when you're talking to somebody, anybody, let them know what it is you're looking for, what your plans are, what you want to do. You never know who knows who. How many of you have heard that expression, 6 degrees of separation? Right. Every person that you know knows somebody else that knows somebody else that knows someone else that knows someone else that probably knows you. And it's a really weird phenomenon, but it's a real one. Okay. Research employers and know your market. Those are two really important things. You research employers by using some online resources. Talk to people in your career center. Talk to other students. Talk to people that already work there. But do your research on the employers. And you want to research things like their financial status, how long they've been in business, who their competitors are, what their products are, what their history's been. If you can find out what they're working on in terms of trends, are they ready to address the next generation of something? The more you know about the companies, the more successful you're going to be both in your application strategies and in your interviews. Gain related experience, that's where part-time jobs and internships come in. And if you have that part-time job experience or internship experience on your resume, that will help employers know that you have some work experience. Also helps you know whether that's a field that's going to fit for you or not fit for you. Conduct informational interviews. Show enthusiasm and courteous perseverance. When the first person you contact and ask if you can do an informational interview with them, and if you say to someone, "I'm a student at TWU, I'm interested in social work, I'm especially interested in child protective services, but I don't know enough about what's out there, can I come and talk to you about your job?" You might ask that person, and that person might say, "No, I'm too busy." That person may hate that job, and that's not the person that you want to talk to anyway. But you would ask them, "Who else do you know that I should talk to?" If you're asking an employer if you can come and talk with him about his accounting business, And he says, I'm really too busy, I don't have time. They then ask them, who else in the company would be a good one for me to talk to? Or can you suggest another firm where I might go talk to somebody? So be perseverant, be pleasant, be friendly, but don't take no for an answer the first time. Always think, well, maybe not. Do you know what no is? No is not yes yet. So think about that. Somebody says no, that doesn't mean no. That means not yes at this point. That's optimism. Okay. Continually update your self-knowledge. So as you complete projects in your academics, be prepared to put those on your resume, maybe. If you have a part-time job, you gain new experience or new skills, put those things on your resume. Constantly be updating not only what's on your resume, but what you know, and be able to talk about those things. Practice interviewing. Sherry, do you do mock interviews at the Career Center?
I sure do.
Okay. Do you want to talk about how that works?
Basically, what you want to do is call and schedule an appointment. We do require that you come dressed as though you're going on an interview and bring your resume with you. And we do a practice interview with you and give you some suggestions. So most definitely we do that.
Yeah, and that is a great tool. You think, we think as humans that we can answer questions and we prepare these answers in our heads. And then if we go to a job interview and the first time we hear that answer is in front of an employer and it sounds awful, that's going to make you very nervous. But if you have that awful answer come out loud in front of Sherry, and she's going to say, let's work on some ways that you can reword that or express that differently and help you practice. You'll be much more confident when you go for your interviews. Develop a well-planned strategy, a focused resume, targeted letters, that would be cover letters or letters of inquiry, a professional portfolio. If you're in an industry where you have examples of your work, like writing samples, or art projects that you've worked on, or computer programs that you've developed, games that you've developed, software that you've worked on, those things can be in your portfolio. Your portfolio that you take with you to interviews, actually, will also have copies of your resume and other documents like your references, letters of recommendation from other employers or professors, so that your portfolio is going to be important. Join professional and community associations. I know that Denton would have Chamber of Commerce. That's a professional organization that's related to all the businesses that are members of that are great contacts for students to explore who's active in the community and who belongs to the chamber and what employers do I want to start exploring. There are Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Clubs, the Elks, there's lots of service organizations in your community. If your major is focused on something specific and there are professional organizations attached to your major, you need to join those organizations. And many of them have student rates, so it's not so expensive. But there's a way those organizations provide you with a way to network with people in your field and also to maybe even go to conferences and learn new things. So those professional organizations are both networking opportunities and educational opportunities for you. And be sure you have business cards. How many of you have business cards of your own? Okay. All you need on your business card is your name, your phone number, email address. You don't need your personal information on there. It needs to be your professional contact information. And if you have printed cards of your own, you hand them to people that you talk to. You can always write a note on the back of what you talked about, where you met them, or how they can get in touch with you if there's something different that you wanted to talk about. So those business cards are very important. Okay. Visible job market. That is the market of jobs that are posted on websites, company websites, and job search boards, for instance. If you are responding to a job, you're going to send your application in, follow up by phone after an appropriate amount of time. If it's at all possible to obtain a phone number and a person to call, you want to follow up on your application, make sure it was received. If you emailed your resume, and if you're emailing resumes and application materials, make sure the subject line in your email is professional. And if your resume, if you're an outstanding salesperson, and you've been making sales of $200,000 or $300,000 a year, and that's in your resume as an accomplishment, that could be a red flag for some software that scans resumes for spam. So if you have that material in your resume, make sure you follow up with the employer and make sure that they have received your resume, because that software scanner may throw your resume into the spam folder. So make sure that, that nothing in your resume or in your subject line is going to make your resume go to a trash bin. Learn as much as possible about the employer and the job. Interview for the position. That would be ideal because you had this perfect resume and you sent them in and they got you an interview. After your interview, send a brief thank you to everybody that you interviewed with. Interviews may be one-on-one, very simply asking you some questions. You may encounter a panel interview where there are 5 or 6 people that would interview you at the same time. You might get a demonstration kind of interview where you have to actually practice what you'd be doing. There are several different formats of interviews, and the Career Center can help you know how to prepare for those. When you receive an offer, clarify what that offer is. Make sure that you know when you have to respond. And I would say, even though you're desperate for a job and the economy is kind of iffy and you're really worried about that, don't say, absolutely, I'll take it right now. Give yourself a little bit of time to think about it. Ask the employer, when do you need my decision? I would like to talk it over with my family. And even if it's the next day, it gives you time to really absorb the offer and analyze it, because you'll want to look at what the offer entails, the salary, the benefits, vacation time, any training that they're going to provide for you, whether or not there is possibility for promotion, whether you're going to be reevaluated in 6 months, if there's a probation period. You want time to absorb and understand all of those little things about that offer, before you say yes. Because once you say yes, you should be good to your word. So if you're looking at the possibility of having an offer come in from 2 or 3 other employers, and you may want to consider those, then you need to buy yourself a little bit of time to see what happens with those. But generally speaking, you don't want to accept an offer and then turn around 2 days later or a week later and say, I got a better offer from this other employer. I'm sorry, I'm not going to take your job after all. Especially in a community like Denton, there's an awful lot of people that know an awful lot of other people. That's where the networking comes in. And if you take the second job and that employer runs into the first one and this one mentions that you said you would work for them and then changed your mind, then this employer that you went with might change his or her mind. And then you burn a bridge, so don't do that. Your verbal yes is considered binding. Okay, tapping the hidden job market. This is what I was talking about a little while ago, and I keep mentioning as we go along today, is the networking and informational interviewing. The hidden job market is the plethora of jobs that are out there. They're coming open, they're not posted anywhere. Look at this from the employer's perspective. There are lots of people out there who are not employed and would like to be, and then there are lots of college students who are going to be graduating and they'd like to be employed too. So the employers know that if they post a job out on the web, they're going to be inundated with resumes and applications. They may post a job one day and then pull it right back down the next day because they get so many. So their employers are actually sometimes hesitant to post their jobs out there. But they'll know they have jobs coming open. And if you're the person that walks in the door to network with them and do an informational interview with them and talk with them about what you're ready to bring to the table, they might say, uh-huh, this is the person we need here. And employers are human beings. They like to know who it is that they're hiring. So if they can hire somebody that somebody in their group or they themselves already know, then they're going to be more likely to do that. They still have to follow procedures and they have to post things when it's federally required that they post things. But in the long run, they're going to go with the people that they know. And so if you've made those connections, that's a big plus for you. Recruiting fairs, temporary work. You can consider temporary work. It gets you some experience. It helps you make connections. So that's important. Don't go too long. If you graduate and don't have a job yet, don't go too long without getting yourself some kind of experience going, so that when you meet with an employer and they say, what have you been doing in the year since you graduated, you can say, well, I've mostly been conducting my job search, but in order to keep my skills up, I took several temporary staffing positions with XYZ agency. Or I volunteered and kept the books and did the financial statements for a nonprofit that I knew in Denton. Be sure and be giving yourself some experience doing something in the time that you're still looking for a job. Volunteer work is important. If you're in a field where things keep changing, then take some continuing ed courses at a community college and get new certificates or new computer knowledge or whatever might be necessary. Again, community clubs, people in the community, websites, and directories. How many of you, we're looking at professional networking groups next, how many of you have LinkedIn accounts? How many of you have Facebook? Okay. Facebook is social networking, and people are using it for some professional networking as well. A lot of people set up a separate Facebook account for themselves, and they only friend people in their professional network that way. And employers are looking at Facebook as well. Employers sometimes look at Facebook as a way of eliminating people. So if you have a Facebook or a MySpace account, clean it up. Make sure there's no pictures of you out there that you wouldn't want your mom or your grandmother to see. LinkedIn is a professional networking site, and it is absolutely simply professional networking. You set up a profile, you connect with other people in LinkedIn who you know, and you can use LinkedIn for finding employers. I did set up my LinkedIn account, and one of the first people that I linked with was Sherry. And so when I pull up my LinkedIn account and look at my contacts, there's going to be a number one by Sherry. But there will be a list on this side of other people I might know, and some of them will have a two by them, which means that somebody in my network knows that person. So that's a level two contact. Employer information goes the same way. If you explore an employer in LinkedIn, there will come up, and you'll come up a list of names, and they'll have twos and threes by them. Those are people that you know that know somebody in that company. So that's a good resource for finding connections. And you can post your professional summary up there. You can post comments or blogs or start a discussion. You can say something like, I'm looking for a job in this industry. Does anybody know anybody that works for this company or works for that company? And somebody will respond to that. It's great professional networking, and employers are not only looking at LinkedIn to find people, but employers are beginning to post some of their jobs on LinkedIn. So it's a good online resource that you can use. Persistence, of course. Keep at it. Don't give up. Okay, if you need to improve English skills, and actually most of us do need to improve our English skills along the way, you can make friends if English is your second language. Make friends with people who speak English. Take speech and communication courses. Anybody can do that to strengthen their speaking ability. Join the Toastmasters. Practice speaking in front of groups. Watch television, because it's news on television, and sitcoms and reality shows give you a good idea of how people phrase things, for instance. Read newspapers and magazines. That helps with pronunciation and with knowing how the English is spoken. Job sources, newspapers, association, newsletters, classmates, family, job fairs, networking groups, employer homepages. If you're interested in a company, look at their website. They may have their jobs posted there. Some companies are very creative about where they hide those jobs. So you kind of have to prowl around in their website. Search engines, of course. There are thousands of career, literally thousands of career and job search websites out there. Okay, what about headhunters and recruiters? The main thing to remember about headhunters and recruiters is that they work for someone else. They're usually working for the company, and they may not have your specific best interests in mind. And that's not to say not to use a recruiter or a headhunter, but you want to be aware of how the system works and how successful that particular organization has been. So if you're talking with a recruiter, maybe you can get some referrals from him of satisfied customers that you can talk to. But you want to ask some questions. How are they paid? Are they paid on contingency, or are they paid on retainer? If they're on retainer, that means they're paid regardless of whether they get you a job or fill a position or not. So their motivation might not be so strong. If they're paid on contingency, they don't get paid until they put somebody in that position, then maybe they'll work a little bit harder for you. How much of the work do you have to do? If they want you to find leads and tell them so that they can get in touch with the employer, well, sure, you've done half the work yourself already. And if they're not going to help you with your resume, if they're not going to help you find leads, then maybe you don't need those recruiters. How long will the process take? If the average shows that people can get jobs within 4 to 6 or 7 months, and they say, well, it could take as much as a year or a year and a half, then you would question whether that's a good recruiting company or recruiter to go with. How are their fees handled? The ideal thing in terms of recruiting is that you don't have to pay anything. In fact, I would say if you have to pay somebody to find you a job, you just need to come back to the Career Center and talk to Sherry and let her help you get your stuff organized. You shouldn't have to pay anybody to find you a job. And the other thing is for you as students to be aware of is that there are a lot of jobs out there where they promise you hundreds of thousands a month in sales, but you have to buy some kind of kit or pay a fee, and you should not have to do that. There's enough work out there for everybody. You shouldn't have to pay anybody anything for you to get a job. That's my lecture. Okay, 3 months later, are you getting interviews? And if you're not, then there's some things we need to look at. If you're not getting, if you're sending your resume everywhere, you're applying on company websites, you're using job boards, you're doing all your networking and interviewing, and nothing is happening, chances are it's your resume. A good resume is going to get you interviews. So that would be the first place to look. Do you need to rework your resume, tweak it, polish it? Sherry, I believe, has told me that alumni can use your career services. Okay.
Yes,
sure. So even if you graduate and you're still looking 3 months later, come back to the Career Center and let them help you with your resume and finding more resources. Consider widening your geographic net. If your family is here in Denton County and you've always wanted to stay here and work here and it doesn't seem to be working, maybe you need to look other places. Expand your search to the Dallas area or up north into Sherman and Oklahoma, maybe down to Houston, Austin. But expand your network a little bit and your geographical area. Assess. The number and types of contacts that you're making, take a look at, and if you've been keeping that log, you'll just take a look at who you've talked with, how many people, where, and maybe kind of rework that. Determine if you followed up on all those leads. Look for new job hunting resources. There are always new websites and new sources of information popping up, and keep on trying. Don't give up on your job search. And then, if you're getting interviews, but still don't have a job, then there's probably something that needs improving in your interview style. So come and talk to the Career Center, do some mock interviews, keep track of what questions employers have been asking you. If you feel like you really flubbed an interview, then look at what the questions were and where you had problems and work out some ways to present those answers in a little bit stronger way. But there are things you can do to help yourself even while you're struggling with this, okay? Review your skills. If you're getting interviews and the interviews seem to be going well, but people say there was another candidate that had greater skills than you did or was a better fit, then maybe it's your skills. And especially if it's been a while since you graduated and you're still struggling with this job search, you maybe need to take a course. As we talked about a few minutes ago, update your skills somehow, get yourself some practice. Okay, and you can sign up with a temporary agency. You can do volunteer work. Volunteer work is a good thing to have on your resume. Employers value the fact that you're willing to work outside of your comfort zone to help other people, to give back to your community. And if you're volunteering in a way that lets you use your relevant skills, and you're managing a project for a nonprofit or a church, if you're wanting to teach and you're waiting for the certification process or for an ISD's hiring process to get finished, work volunteer in some after-school programs or tutoring programs, but do some things to keep your skills up and develop new skills as you're waiting. Okay, practice. Network. That's the most important thing. And stay connected with TWU. Okay? So I think that may be the last slide. Oh, these are some resources that I use. Bureau of Labor Statistics, Partnership for Public Service, and that has a lot of information in it about how to work the government job searching process. ONET is a government website where you can explore careers and what it takes to do a career, what salaries are. Monster Career Journal, the Dallas News, CNN Money, and Entry Level Careers Examiner. There are a lot of resources out there for college students, and recent grads, and I've actually provided on this handout a number of things that you can use as resources. So before I look at these, I'd stop for a second and ask if you have questions about what we've talked about already. Did we cover all the things that you guys needed to know today? Yes.
What about negotiating pay?
I'm sorry?
Negotiating pay.
Oh, negotiating pay. Okay. In a challenging economic time like this, you may think that you don't have any room for negotiating. But you probably do. It's just going to be how careful you are about how you negotiate. So the first thing you need to do is look at yourself and evaluate what you bring to the table. If you've completed a couple of internships or you've had a part-time job all the way through college that's related to your field, then you have some experience. Use resources like salary.com and collegegrad.com to research what the salary should be for that particular job title in this geographical area. So you'll have a range of what should be from low to high should be your offer. And then when the company makes the offer, then you know that they want you. So you don't negotiate for salary before this point. But when they make the offer, then you have some bargaining points because you know that they want you in that position. So you could ask them questions like, I'm sure you have a reason for setting the salary where you have, but can you talk to me about whether you considered my two internships or my 3 years of experience? How did you arrive at this figure? Do you have any room for negotiation? And they may not have room. They may have a completely structured salary system and they may not have room. So where you're talking about negotiating is maybe making it a win-win situation. Maybe you can bargain for an extra day off every other week. Maybe you can bargain for time during the week where you can work from home for a certain number of hours. You want to be sure you ask about things like continuing education and training. And if they're absolutely firm on the offer and they're not going to bend from that or move off of that, then you might want to ask, what is the possibility of us reevaluating my work in 3 months or 6 months and possibly talk about a raise at that point? But if you can make it a win-win situation, this is what's important to me about work and about my job and what I can contribute. And I know from our conversation that these things are important to you. How can we make this a win-win? How can we meet you there? And you never want to approach negotiating from the perspective of, well, if you can't do any better than that, I'm not going to work here. That pretty much ends the conversation. Yes, ma'am.
What about as a woman trying to get more equal pay, making sure that you're getting that equal pay, considering there's about $11,000 difference still today?
Yeah, there is. And that's where you need to do, you can use some information from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They actually have very strong statistics in support of what you're just saying. Still, be aware that you have to be careful how you approach that with employers. but do your research on what the standard range of salary is for your position in that area, and that's your starting point. And it still is a very tricky thing to try to bargain for, and you can come right out and say to a person, well, I know that a male in this job, in this company, starts out at this salary level, and you're offering me this salary level. Can you explain to me what the difference is? And if they're aware that you're aware and you can carry on a civil conversation about that, that'll take you much further than getting angry and being confrontational. But you have to have all the information you possibly can on your side and be prepared for rejection, because it could happen.
And should you take that rejection if they're going to literally pay you way less just because you feel you're a woman?
You're going to be, they are going to be, excuse me, employers should be very careful how they word those things. And the burden of proof, if there's discrimination going on there, the burden of proof is going to be on you. And actually, something I was reading not too long ago, there is one of the resources on here is Career Realism, and it's a column, it's an online column that's written by J.T. O'Donnell and Dale Dutton, who are career journalists. And the question is raised, how do I approach this? I think that my employer has done this because I'm a woman, and I want to address that. And bottom line was, even with their advice, is do your research, know what your points are, and carry on this conversation in a non-confrontational way with your employer. And then, you know, if he even comes right out, or she comes right out and says, we're offering you this because you're a woman, and we don't offer women any more than that, they've said that out loud. But then you have to weigh whether you want to put your time and your energy into pursuing something that's negative, like taking them to court or suing or whatever, or if you just want to move on. And bottom line is, how much of your own energy do you want to spend in negative ways, and how can you use your energy in positive ways? So I wouldn't tell you not to fight it, but I would tell you to be aware that there are probably going to be ramifications to that that might not be so pleasant. It's out there, and people are working on that, but it's still there. Yes. Other questions? Yes.
I've heard it's like really hard to get hired into a school system, and I want to go into education. How do you
get hired into the school system?
I hear that's very complicated.
It's how do you get hired into a school system? Each school district has their own way of handling applications for their open positions. And most of them require that you apply online through the ISD website. But you can still do some things to get yourself known in the school district. If you're interested in a particular school district, then research the district and see what schools in that district you would be most interested in. And then make an appointment with the principal or the vice principal at that school and go sit down and talk with them and do an informational interview. You still have to do your online application, submit your resume that way. But if somebody at this school knows you and had a conversation with you, and they in the future have a position coming open, they'll tell the district, I know this person has applied, please be sure that that resume comes to me when you send me the resumes. Okay? And I'll come back to you. I have a son who's actually a principal of an elementary school. He said that the people that make the biggest impression on him are the ones that will come and try to talk with him in person and bring their resume. They've applied, they've done all those online things, but they will bring their resume to the school and try to get it in the hands of somebody. And the ones that impress me most are the ones that act like they know what that school is all about and what the district is all about, what those students are about, how they're doing on their tests, scores, they've done their research, and they have something to contribute, and they know they do, and they want to get that message out. So even with teaching, as complicated and competitive as it is, that personal contact makes a difference. Does that make sense? Okay. What was your question?
I didn't really have a question. I was just going to give her some advice on substitute teaching, because that's what I'm doing right now, and I've met a lot of principals and a lot of teachers.
Right.
And you become familiar with the secretary of the school is a great person to get to know. She's the one that knows everything.
You're right. Substitute teaching and getting to know the people in the school that way, and the school secretary being your friend.
Yeah, and then you can find out, you know, you might find out certain teachers of certain grade levels who are going to be retiring or leaving because they're having a baby, and you know where the job openings are. And even though they do make you go through the system, like you said, to apply, if you contact that principal personally and say, I know so-and-so is leaving first grade next year, I'd like to be considered for that position.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
And if you don't have time to substitute teach, even volunteering,
yes,
that would be a way to get your foot in the door as well.
Right. Other questions? Okay, let me briefly talk with you about what's on this handout, and then I'm done. I will turn it back over to Sherry. I put some books on the top of this list here. They're the kinds of books that you can read to kind of see how other people have explored career dilemmas. My two favorites are What Should I Do With My Life by Poe Bronson. He interviewed people all over the United States who were in a career transition of some kind. Some of them went ahead and made a change, and some of them didn't, but the book really gives you a good idea of the kinds of struggles people go through. What Color Is Your Parachute is a good one for helping you self-identify strengths and what kinds of occupations would fit well for you. And also Do What You Are by Tiger and Barron. That's based on the Myers-Briggs, and it takes you through vignettes of different personality types and career decisions that people make. Some networking suggestions. Career Connection, these are really aimed at the DFW area. Career Connection and careerdfw.org and are probably career networking groups organized in the Denton County area, and you want to take advantage of those. Weddles, W-E-D-D-L-E-S, is an online resource for finding professional organizations and associations. It's a really great tool. And then there's some online resources in alphabetical order. And a couple that I want to point out to you that are fairly new to me. LinkedIn is in here. There's jobhunt.org. And let's see, LinkUp, it's right under LinkedIn. Both of those will do job searching for you and tell you what company has that job open. Indeed.com is also a good resource. You just simply, at the top, very simple front page, you just plug in the job title you're looking for in the city, and it'll pull up whatever jobs are open in your area that meet that criteria. The next time you go into Indeed, then right there on that front page is a list of your previous searches. So you can click on those, and it'll refresh the search and start over for you. Quintessential Careers is a good site for finding niche job boards. The big boards are Monster and Career Builder, and if you'll notice, those are not on here as online resources. Employers are tending to post their positions on sites where the board is focused on a particular industry, and that's where they go to look for people with certain skills. So Quintessential Careers does a good job of organizing by category, and also Zigs and Zoom Info are good for finding people and finding organizations. And for women, if you're interested in getting into a career field, say you've been out for a while and now you're doing a degree and you're getting ready to go back into the workforce, Women for Hire and Your On-Ramp are two good sites that are specifically aimed at women getting into and out of the workforce. And they do career expos, they do career fairs, they do networking, newsletters, all those kinds of things. So these are some good resources for you that change every day. Anything else we need to cover? Okay, well, thank you for listening to me as I went along. Thank you, Sherry, for having me today.
You're welcome. Please join me. And thank you, Jamie. We have a small token of appreciation for you.